Call the meeting to order for P&amp;Z for regular meeting. First on the item on the agenda is adoption of the agenda. Has everybody had a chance to read it?
Yeah. Yeah, but Jim, before that, I think we should mention that Craig did call in. Craig, yeah. The chairman is not here, as you well know, and that should be an excused absence because he did call ahead and he has a valid reason.
Okay, well, we'll start out with excusing Craig then.
Yes, yes.
You have a motion?
So
I motion. Second?
Yep.
Okay, Craig's been excused. So next is the adoption of the agenda.
I actually have a motion here too. I like the motion that we move Connie's oath of office up to the beginning of the agenda so she could participate in discussions. She still won't be able to vote as an alternate member. But
alternates don't participate.
I used to.
I just listen.
Yeah.
I used to talk. Is that bad?
Me too.
All right.
HPC, because she would be a full member there.
So well, I still think we should move it up early.
I just listen, right?
Well, besides, feel free to jump in anytime you want.
Yeah, if you have questions, comments.
Okay. Has everybody seen the approval of the minutes? Any changes anybody wants to make?
Did you all vote? Yeah,
we got to. You want to change the agenda order?
So I make a motion that we adopt the agenda with the change to move Connie's oath up to now.
Second.
It's been moved and seconded to swear Connie in.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? No. Okay. We do it right now then?
Mm-hmm.
Now we got you.
First round's on you.
Is there another one for HPC?
Well, we did at the HPC.
Yeah, meeting. But I mean, we don't have a meeting. We're not in an HPC meeting, so I can't swear her in for that here.
Understood.
Okay. Do I continue to sit down here?
No, you can sit on the side.
Or do I go up there?
Either way.
Okay.
Either way. Usually Beth's here, so you would sit in the audience, but you can sit up there tonight.
I'll sit here tonight.
Okay. Connie, did you get a copy of the agenda?
Yes.
Okay.
There's two chairs over here.
Did we adopt the agenda?
Not yet.
Yeah, we adopted the agenda.
Okay. With that change.
The minutes of the last meeting. I'll entertain a motion to adopt them or offer your changes.
Yeah, so moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Approve the minutes of the meeting. Do we have any public comments?
We do not.
We have no public.
So Craig's the only member on the phone?
He's not on the phone.
No.
Oh, he's not.
There's no one on the call. There's not a call.
Okay, we'll get into the regular meeting with old business. The proposed text amendments to Chapter 15 and Chapter 11 with John.
Yes, sir, Mr. Commissioner, you should have in your packet the proposed text amendments. They're pretty clear how they are outlined. Black shows existing language. Strike through black is language that we should delete, and then all new language is red. So I went through and edited each one of these to the specifications that we discussed last month. I feel pretty good about them. I like them. They're going to help me in the discharge of my duties. If you have any questions, I'm available to answer them for you.
John, I have two. So with the full kitchen, should we not delete microwave? Just because I think you're distinguishing kitchen from kitchenette with the fact that rather than an oven, it would be a microwave. So if you kind of read it, everything's and. And so somebody could argue later that if I don't have a microwave, then I shouldn't be held accountable to the definition of a kitchen. If that makes sense.
It does.
So if we just delete that there and then just put oven and stove, and then the kitchenette falls with the microwave.
Well, we changed the definition of a full kitchen to a room or space with normal facilities, including an oven and/or stove.
Yeah, I mean, if that's what you're getting.
Normal appliances.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Can you read that one more time?
A full kitchen is a room or space with typical appliances. Mm-hmm. Including an oven and or stove.
You want to include the sink too?
That's why I said typical appliances.
We'll stick sink in there.
Okay.
Oven and stove.
And or
stove. I'll make the change on mine for council.
It's great to have sink.
And then the only other thing I had was with the driveway change, the throat, like where it goes across easement property, you're still keeping that at the same 24-foot?
It's going to be specific to the lot width now.
So even the throat off the street? So everything goes at that 72%?
No, sir. 72% applies to what's on your property. 49% would apply to the property that extends from the property line to the road.
Okay, 49%. Okay, gotcha.
As we discussed last month, that more evenly addresses that issue for all lots regardless of size.
And the 49% is somewhere in here?
It is. It's in page 206 at the bottom.
206.
Mm-hmm. Very bottom.
You're come up from
right there. Okay. Yep.
Anybody else for this part? I've got a question for you on the last one, bedrooms.
What page, please?
What discussions or any did you have as far as installing a window in a bedroom?
Building code is going to dictate that, so that's why it really includes that.
Anybody have any more items of proposed text amendments for 15.02? Do you want to go through the whole thing or vote on sections?
Yeah, actually, I do have one just technical question, but on the very last one, 6 of 6, on the drainage. So if there's not a an area to drain close by. Is it supposed to be the street? Okay.
Yes, sir.
All right. And do you think that's clear here?
A lot more clear than it used to be. That's basically what we've been doing for the last 10 years. So.
Yep. Yeah, stormwater facility.
But yeah, so you're just encouraging water to move this street?
The road is a stormwater facility in most cases.
Okay.
John, to your knowledge, do we have any lots that would, if it was 49% of the lot width, create an issue?
The only one that would be, well, they're all treated equally based on the lot size.
Okay.
So the only lot size that you might have somebody grumbling about the size of their driveway would be a 25 by 100 lot, which is a non-conforming lot anyway, so they would be regulated to only having a 12-foot driveway crossing town right-of-way. But it's only 25 feet wide, so.
Okay, this on a non-conforming would be the.
Yeah.
And how wide does it be have to be to not be non-conforming?
I mean, lot width is supposed to be 50 feet.
Okay.
But the lot size is generally what we go by, which is the minimum of 5,000 square feet.
Gotcha.
On new construction, is there any amount of repair work that would fall under new construction? Say you're putting a new roof on and one side. What is there a percentage that would be called new construction?
Are we referring to the stormwater?
Yeah, specifically that, yeah. But
so, yes, sir, typically we handle that in a couple of ways. First of all, if you're adding new impervious area, there is a stormwater assessment for that. And then, yes, I meet with every single contractor to discuss about where that water is going to go. Most of the time, they already have plans for that.
And then, John, with the 49% going across the easement, are there still anticipated to be wings at the street that go beyond that?
Yes, typically we allow 18 and 20 on each side.
Okay. Should that be clarified here, or is that already somewhere else?
I wouldn't mind it being clarified there now that you bring it up.
Okay. So if you guys aren't following that, it's just like a little, you know,
yeah,
wing
flare.
To curve, yeah. You know, flare at the screen.
Anybody have anything else?
So do these require some additional changes before we can vote?
I want to make one additional change here. Figure out where I'm going to plug it real quick. So on the bottom of page 2, talks about the 49% of lot width.
Mm-hmm.
Add the language.
Add the width.
Yep. Not counting 18-inch flares on each side.
Is that 18? 18 wide, 18 deep in a 45?
Yep.
Okay.
F-L-A-R-E-S?
Yes, sir.
You can say not counting or not inclusive of.
I think not inclusive of is, from my point of view, better.
Throwing out all these big words, Jeff.
Yeah. Well, Craig's not here. Somebody's got to use the big word.
Is that it then? Well then, unless there's an objection, we can vote on what we changed also, and the ones that we didn't put any changes in, leave them as is.
So could we do a quick recap on the changes, just so we're all clear?
John, you can
handle
that. So we're adding a few words to the definition of a kitchen. Rewriting that definition, basically. taking out.
The new definition would read room or space with typical appliances, including sink, oven, and/or stove.
Okay.
And then we are adding to the bottom of page six, where it says 49% lot width. After width, we are adding not inclusive of 18-inch flares
on each side.
On each side.
So before you get to your motion, we're going to treat all of these in one motion, and included in this, at least for our purposes, is the name and title change for John, Planning and Zoning Director of the Planning and Zoning Department. Councils will do what they want with that when they want, but that's in front of you today.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yes.
Is everybody satisfied?
That's it for the changes?
Yeah, that's good.
Yes.
Okay.
Then I'll entertain a motion to accept with the changes.
So
all the items?
So moved.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All opposed? Okay.
And as you all know, when you review and recommend on Chapter 15 changes, you have to adopt a consistency statement. I've included Chapter 11 text amendment in the consistency statement that you've got before you. The crux of the matter is the commission finds that the intent of the proposed amendments is to ensure an equitable and efficient application of the town's zoning and building regulations. Based on this finding, the commission concludes that the proposed amendments are consistent with, and this quote comes from our new comprehensive land use plan, the town shall protect existing development and regulate new development, et cetera, et cetera. Accordingly, the town shall utilize zoning in Chapter 11's building regulations to preserve the unique characteristics of the community. If you agree with that finding and conclusion, you can entertain a motion to adopt the proposed consistency statement.
Any discussion on that?
No.
Entertain a motion to adopt.
Motion to adopt.
Second.
All in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Ayes have it. Does anybody have anything further under 5.1? If not, we'll go down to 5.2.
I guess I'll take this one.
Yes,
take
sir.
It away. All right, last month we discussed, I had a list of 51 editorial changes to Chapter 15. And for the sake of time at last month's meeting, we tabled that to this month. And in the interim, John and I met and we went through all 51 items. Some were deleted, some were accepted. We have to discuss some of them, and John has a little homework to do on a few of them also. So in your agenda on page 21 is the initial list, the original list. But as a handout tonight, hopefully everybody has one, it includes the comments that John and I discussed this week with the latest wording that I have. It's got colors on it. Do we have any more copies if anybody needs one before I say that? Does anybody need a copy? Okay. So with that said,
can I ask one question? Mm-hmm. Does the handout supersede the agenda doc?
The handout is, yes.
This is the most up to date.
That's the most up to date. It is basically the agenda doc with these colored comments added to it based on our discussion.
And would you please make a note to email me the Word doc of this one?
Yes, I will. All right, so trying to figure out how to organize the comments, there's three colors. The green ones are the things that we agreed to change. a lot of them are spelling, you need a comma here, you need a period there, simple things like that. The blue comments are the ones that John's going to follow up a little more. Some are already resolved. The yellow are the ones we need to discuss, and the red are comments that were dropped. So I'm going to just go down the list and basically go right past the green items. And if you want to read them as you go by, if you have a concern, please bring it up. But those are the strictly editorial type cleanup items. Now, item one, though, I do want to mention, this is a wording change to many of the definitions. I'll say 80% of the definitions are written with the term balcony shall mean an extension of blah, 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 or a kitchen shall mean. So I just propose that we go through every one of those definitions and make the wording similar on all of them to say everything shall mean. That's the definition. And if that is done, the new definitions that John just provided with his text amendment should also fall into that wording. So that's actually, I have agreed, but that's an item for discussion. If you want to go through and have all those wordings changed, or is it necessary? It's not necessary, but it sure makes a cleaner document.
Well, legally, does shall mean have any problems for John?
You asking John? Shall mean, that's what I would write.
Mm-hmm. And Joe, what are examples of other ways of saying that?
Oh, some just say, like, kitchen dash a blah, 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 blah. It's all like a hodgepodge of different formats of a definition.
Yep. Look, it depends on what the leading paragraph says. There very, very may well be inconsistency. The intent to make it all sync up in the legal in legal language without much variation is a good idea.
Have you gone through all of these?
Yes, I don't have any problems with the definition tweaks that are being proposed.
Okay. So, staff has no problem with the green.
Okay, so item one's a go. Item two talks about bedroom being defined in the body of the text. I was proposing that gets moved to the definition section. That has already just happened in the text amendment that John presented with the definition of bedroom being in the definitions. But it should be removed from this 1536.120 because now the wording is different also. So that must be removed because it's included. Item number three, John's going to look into this, the mean elevation definition. And this definition must agree with the wording in 36.150 in John's proposed text amendment. Did you take care of that, John? I didn't check.
No.
Haven't done that yet? Okay. Item four is good. Five and six are gone. Let's go down to item 10. The definition of dwelling says it requires three or more families. We had a little discussion on this, and we thought we'd bring it up to the board that should that be in the definition of dwelling?
Well, can we get these up on the screen so we can see? I don't have any of those definitions in front of me. You got a definition of dwelling, which would be in what, 1502.10?
Yes.
So just remember on the blue, I'm going to follow up with those and bring you guys back a document.
So this is really just a discussion at this point.
That was the intent right now without getting into the weeds.
The definition right now, I can read it to you, okay. Says, dwelling shall mean a building or portion thereof used or designed as a residence for three or more families having complete independent dwelling units. That sounds rather...
Are there other dwellings included in that section of the definitions?
There's dwelling modular, dwelling multifamily, dwelling prefab, single family, two family.
Okay. Let's talk about single family and two family. read the single family definition, please?
Single family shall mean a detached building designed for occupancy inclusive by one family. A mobile home or trailer is not included in this definition. So it clearly says used for one family. Dwelling two family shall mean a building designed for occupied exclusively by two families having complete independent dwelling units.
So the dwelling, the additional dwelling definition for three or more families, is there a reason for that? That just
I don't think it's needed at all. I just haven't had a chance to review it because we've already got another dwelling definition for multifamily.
Exactly.
I think it's already covered, but I don't know why we never really noticed that. It's just a weird one, for sure.
I'm sure it's not the only one.
Oh, no.
So it sounds like we can delete that particular definition.
I think so.
So that's something you're going to get back to us on?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Moving on. Items 14 and 15 are rather similar. In all the definitions, it calls out these two, the industry group and the industrial number, and it gives them as examples. They're really not definitions. It gives a definition of an industry group, and it gives the definition of an industry number. Then it gives these examples. But in the back of section 15, we have all of the industry groups and all the industry numbers listed in appendix A and B. So I personally, I don't believe these two statements belong in the definitions.
Are they? One of the difficulties I'm having is, I understand your comments, but it's hard to fully understand them without the provision being included. So, for example, this industry group number 653, is that phrase or term included in the definitions? Or individual industry number, industry group? Hmm, that's interesting.
I think it's just meant to be included in there as a, this is how you read industry groups. It's still weird.
I wonder what the specific number references are. Yeah, I'm inclined to take those out. It's not my call.
That was my inclination also. That's why I brought it up as a question.
Why don't we change those to blue?
Okay.
So that's another.
You're going to look at it, right?
John?
John's going to look at those. All right, then going down, we've got greens and reds. Item 24. John's already looking at this. The definition is different from the definition that's included in the back, so he's going to straighten that out. Item 27. The definition of tourist lodgings uses the term bed breakfast. It also uses a lot of other terms, which are all defined, but we do not define bed breakfast in our document. So I'm suggesting that we add a definition for bed breakfast. Something like a guest house or small hotel offering sleeping accommodations and a morning meal. That's right out of Google.
Can we change that one to blue also? Because I want to make sure it doesn't conflict with any other definitions.
All right, see.
Okay.
What number are we on, please?
27.
Well, what are the, what's the term for some of the other rentals? Because you can rent structures and not get breakfast.
Mm-hmm. It says, Tourist lodging shall mean building containing rooms designed to be used for the most part as sleeping accommodations for tourists, vacationers, or short-term transients. Example, hotel, motel, boarding house, rooming house, and bed and breakfast, as distinguished from a residential dwelling. And we define all the other stuff, hotel, motel, boarding house, rooming house. It's all in here. The bed and breakfast is not.
Okay.
John's going to look. Sense. All right, now we're out of the definitions, and item 32 is in 1508-090E. I'll read that when I get to it. All right, and what this is in the site plan requirement section, 1508-090. Item E says to include buffering and screening areas, fencing, walls, and landscaping, indicating the type, number, and size of all plantings. I'm suggesting or wondering why we don't also require them to list what they're removing. If they're removing trees or planting as part of their site plan, should we not also require that?
Isn't there somewhere in here that somebody has to get permission if a trunk is a certain diameter?
Yes, sir.
Is there also somewhere in your code a requirement for landscaping plans? Probably in subdivisions, but but if I bring in a, you know, I've always had trouble with site plans. I understand subdivision plats. What is this? What would somebody bring you a site plan for, a building permit?
They do for everything, yes. There's a new ground covering surface of it. I need a site plan, but primarily what we're looking for is zoning requirements being met. We're not looking at trees or tree removal.
So the only place that we probably have a landscaping.
Once I write that building permit authorizes you to take down any trees you want at that point.
I've never looked at how this town regulates trees. Can you just give us the bottom line on that?
Bottom line is we're not going to tell somebody they can't cut down a tree. One of the things Commissioner Bartlett brought up, though, was should we include some kind of ordinance in there that says if you take some trees down, you have to replace them with something else.
So just make sure I understand, if somebody's got a nice lawn, it's got some mature live oaks on it, they can take that live oak down?
They can.
And you said earlier there was a, I think it's called DBH, you got a DBH provision in there? The width of the diameter of the trunk?
Yes. That falls into permitting. If it's over a certain size, it's supposed to be permitted.
If it's a certain size tree, they got to get a permit to cut it down?
Okay. So, Joe, it sounds like, okay, we have that, but we don't have any other requirements that would prevent somebody from taking out trees. So the purpose in getting that information, what are we going to do with it?
I'll tell you that it's a red button issue no matter how you look at it. Mm-hmm.
Well, my guess would be if we're going to give John the authority to stop a tree from being taken down, I would guess that we probably have to supply him with a list of various types of trees that we would want to save in the town.
You're going to have to do a lot more than that because I'm not just going to pull up and tell somebody they can't cut down a tree. So.
Yeah. I've drafted a couple of tree protection ordinances. I'll tell you, property owners don't like to be told what they can do and can't do with trees on their lots.
Right.
At the same time, there is some consideration for protecting the certain types of trees. For example, in another town that I represented, they had some beautiful live oaks, and we actually in the code designated as heritage trees and impose a $5,000 civil penalty if anybody cut them down. We had a developer, the town didn't have any tree protection regulations. We had a developer come in and clear cut dozens of live oaks. So we got tree protection after that.
So it sounds like we already have an ordinance that deals with the fact that if a tree is large enough, it's protected. And that...
It's permitted.
It's permitted.
So well, they have to get a permit.
They have to get a permit, yeah. Sure.
It doesn't mean that...
What are the elements for getting that permit? I mean, what are you considering when somebody comes in with a tree of the required diameter and says, I want a permit to take this down? What type of things are considered in deciding upon that permit application?
Yeah, that was the question.
I'll just read one of them for you real quick. Whenever the applicant can show that essential site improvements cannot be accommodated on the site without the removal of the regulated vegetation, increased impervious area or the placement of fill soil or materials, approval shall be granted.
Approval shall be granted. For interfering with the footprint, is there anything beyond the footprint?
I haven't read through this in a while, gentlemen.
No, I'm not trying to put you on the spot.
I just want to see how we can put something there if you're allowed to build a structure within certain setbacks, you know, get 10 feet in the back, 5 feet on the sides, you know, 20 in the front, you're probably going to damage the tree anyway, just in normal construction. I don't see how you can. So if you're trying to protect a tree, I think this normal construction is going to, you know, it's going to die. So... even if you wanted to save it, I don't know if you could.
Well, and what happens if you want to save it when you're building, and then your insurance company tells you that it's a danger?
Well, that's a whole other issue. But I don't see how you could. I mean, there's no space on the lot anyway when they're building now.
Yeah.
To try to put something in there to tell somebody they gotta save a tree. It's impossible. Even if they wanted to do it, I don't see how they could.
Well, there's other options. I mean, I'm just getting into this. My comment is just to get the words in there that to let John know that they're going to be removing the tree. Because that's all this is. This is the site plan application that we're talking about. This isn't the landscaping plan.
It's not a permit.
Just like they tell them everything else that's, you know, the big ticket items on the lot. And by the way, I'm removing those 20 trees. But if the landscaping plan is going to show that, and the landscaping plan gets reviewed, then it's still getting reviewed, and it's captured, and that's the tie to the other section of the ordinance that gives you the size of the tree. But if any one of those cogs fall off that wheel, it's not going to get to that other ordinance where you need a permit. It's just going to get cut down. And as far as saving a tree, we have another item on the agenda. I think it's 5.4. I don't know if we're going to get to it, about green sustainable planning. So another item we're starting to discuss is how do we plan ahead and keeping green in mind? Well, keeping trees alive is part of that. Or if you must damage a tree and destroy it, well, let's plant other trees somewhere else.
On a 50 by 100 lot with the limitation, what we allow builders to build, there's no space left. There's just absolutely no space. You put the driveway in the front, you have the setbacks, and you can build to those setbacks. What's left for the tree to live? It's very little.
Well, that's...
So I don't... I think that, in my opinion, you know, just trying to understand it, I think we could, you know, say... you know, put something to replant vegetation or trees or something there, but in many cases, the trees are going to go on a 50 by 100 lot.
It sounds like at this point, we only have one clear requirement, and that has to do with trees of a certain diameter. And so, yeah, if we're going to eventually want to add to that to provide further protections, you know, to me, that's where you do it. And then maybe at that point, this becomes important. But right now, it's just information that can't really come into play. John can't do anything to say, okay, well, I wish you would keep more trees.
Well,
yeah, I do that all the time, especially if there are a lot of oaks.
But my point is, it's just your encouragement, though, at this point.
My point is, though, that's the trigger that gets John to say, let's look at that other ordinance and the size of these trees that you're taking down. If they don't tell us they're taking down trees, and on day one of construction they go in and they flatten the lot, it's too late.
Yeah, well, you know, as far as I'm concerned, that's up to them.
Going
the way I look at that. But
they're allowed to do it.
Okay.
Should we be really have the discussion around should there be other limitations?
Mm-hmm.
You know, as opposed to just saying, let's disclose that the fact that they're taking out vegetation and John can't do anything about it anyhow.
I think we're creating a lot of challenges for the future. If we say we're going to try to save these trees and these setbacks, and I think what we should be saying is we should encourage the replanting of trees and vegetation and not, I mean, there's just no room to protect those trees.
Mm-hmm. I mean, I think it's a great topic that we should have more discussion around, but John doesn't have any meat to hold anybody accountable just because they disclose.
Wouldn't this be a good thing to throw in to the greening
the green thing
of the town?
Absolutely.
But then again, are you trying to encourage the planting of vegetation and trees in the areas with, you know, like usually they clear a lot and they plant palm trees after the fact. That's what you see. And whatever, but you know,
for crape myrtles.
I mean, that's just the way it's going to be. But you know, trying to save some of these trees, I don't see how you could put an ordinance in place to do that.
You keep talking about saving trees. I don't want to save anything. I just say, list them. Just tell John. Just tell him what you're doing.
Well, I think in the site plan,
it's probably my fault. I think I got us into tree protection. That's not on the agenda. Maybe you can work it into the green item. But Commissioner Barlick is right. Is the only thing that he's brought to you is whether we ought to include on the site plan what trees will be removed, period.
And do we do that now, John?
No, unless it's a big subdivision. I honestly don't see a need for that either. But part of the reason I encouraged Commissioner Barlick to bring this up again, though, was because a lot of municipalities are adopting some sort of ordinance to encourage or require new native plantings to be installed after you build your new house or whatever.
Which I think is a topic we should be dealing with. And then this would become more important.
If you see that somebody has cut down a tree that you know is a significantly large tree and they didn't come to you, what are your options?
I'm a $50 citation for not getting a $25 permit that I was going to award anyway.
Okay.
That's it.
That kind of settles it.
Yeah. What is that diameter, by the way?
Was it 6 inches, something like that?
Regulated vegetation is defined as any self-supporting woody perennial plant such as a large shade or pine tree which usually has one main stem or trunk and has a measured caliper as follows: a hardwood tree 8 inches, oak, maple, etc., a pine tree 12 inches. Any small flowering vegetation such as a dogwood with a measured caliper of at least 4 inches.
Gotcha. All right. So I'm going to, for now, we're just going to change this one to red and not incorporate anything on the tree removal at this time.
But move the topic to the green sustainability topic.
It will be. It's one of the. Okay, that being said, going to item 33 also deals with trees. And as I turn the page, I just found this out. That's in section 8110.3.A1. Talks about landscaping. And it uses the words should be. All usable open space such as walkways, Separation between buildings, yard areas, common rec areas should be landscaped and provided with underground irrigation or an alternate equivalent system. So here too, we had some discussions. Should be, I always learn you could say should not be, and it's the same thing. So is it strong enough? Do we want to make this a shall be, where they shall be, do, use landscaping in an underground irrigation system? Because there is an out. It says, or an alternative equivalent system. So.
What would be your definition of an alternate system?
I don't know. That's in here already, though.
But I think you're right. I mean, shall be would require at least one or the other.
Right.
You said it required an irrigation system?
It says, shall be landscaped and provided with an underground irrigation system or an alternative equivalent system. Now, this applies to the mixed-use overlay district.
So
that's the section that this is in. It's under mixed use.
This is kind of a guide for the applicants to put this together. P&Z would have latitude to enforce some of this stuff or make it more clear as a condition of acceptance.
So it's like a purposeful kind of gray area that allows judgment? Is that what you're saying?
I wouldn't call it a gray area. It's a guide that you guys would be able to expound upon. Hmm.
Okay, so we leave it as should be as a guide?
I would.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Okay.
Because, I mean, you know, some places you would need irrigation.
Right. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's fine.
Because yeah, requiring irrigation also brings in a lot of state regulations, right? Mm-hmm. About how there has to be a concrete down so many feet and so many feet away from the foundation of the house. If you're putting in a well.
Oh, yes, sir.
Yeah.
And if you're not putting in a well, you're hooking up to our water system.
It's another meter, right? It's the second meter?
Doesn't have to be.
But it's probably best if you did.
Can, yes.
You're saving money if you put the second meter.
That's correct. Yeah.
Okay, so we're going to leave that should be for item A1.
Yeah.
Now, item C1 is a little different. It actually has to do with on-site tree preservation. It talks about all species of mature oak trees should be preserved and integrated into the design unless it is shown to be infeasible. So there too, there's an out.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess should be is strong enough if we're giving them an out anyway. So that'll be red. I'm not going to change that.
Okay.
How often do you guys get involved in stuff like that when they bring their plans in?
About whether or not it's going to be landscaped?
Whether or not they want to take something out and you'd say, no, you can do this and leave them in.
I'm trying to figure out a context. I'm trying to understand your question. I'm sorry. Let's see. Let me get back to, what was that number again?
It's a long one. 08-110-3-C1.
D1 or A1?
Or on C1. A1 is a should. We're leaving A1 as it should be. I moved on to C1.
One subjective comment. It's when I write ordinances, it's either shall or may. Should is a word I try to avoid. It's not a requirement. It's not discretionary. So you can keep that in mind.
So, once again, this is in the JIU overlay district. You guys are going to have some latitude to require some of these things. So this is a guide for them to apply for this overlay. And I'll just go ahead and tell you, if there's a tree that is sitting in the middle of that lot, we're not going to tell them they can't take that out because that would destroy the viability of whatever they're trying to do. So I think it should be is just fine.
And it does say here, removal of mature trees must be approved by the building inspector. So it doesn't say it can never happen.
Yeah, John's right. To have a use in that mixed overlay district, you have to apply for a special use permit, and council would conduct a quasi-judicial hearing to determine if what's proposed meets the intent of the ordinance. So in this case, shall, should, or may is fine, because council has the discretion to look at that.
All right, that's fine. Item 33 will be turned to red and it will not be incorporated. Item 34, 1510-040C. It says the same thing twice. And I'll read it and you could watch my hands.
So, well, I think this was one that I was going to look at.
We said we were going to bring it up, though. And ask.
Okay.
So first it says, side yard setbacks shall not be reduced to less than 5 feet on each side. Means 5 feet on each side. And the total width of the two side yard setbacks shall not be less than 10 feet. Well, it can't. If each of these are five, it can never be less than 10.
Right.
So why do we confuse the words and have an extra sentence in there? Just say it. Each side can be less than 5 feet. Period. But John's going to look into it a little more, depending on if anybody had a reason to say it one way or the other.
Okay.
So we're changing that one to blue.
34 is blue. Right, because you also said, John, that that may be deleted completely based on some of the other things that you're doing with setbacks. All right. Item 1514-020C. Now this is getting into the different zones. Let me find it. 1514-020C is permitted uses in the RA2 zone. And it says, customary home occupations such as dressmaking, music, teaching, preserving, home cooking, and laundering, but not including beauty parlors. That just really seems strange to me. And does anybody know why no beauty parlors are allowed?
John's a secret partner.
The rest are saying they are allowed.
It's not mentioned anywhere else.
Those items that you had mentioned before are allowed?
Yes, those are allowed. And it says, but not including beauty parlors.
But when this came out before, wasn't it because of parking spaces for customers? I know it's come out before.
Is it because...
they've all come up before, and that's one of the reasons I've mentioned a couple of times. We really should go through the new land use plan and look at what people want to see in town and then go back through.
Right, and we do have a separate item on that also.
Check out this permitted uses, but I think the intent of this is primarily a residential district, and so you don't want the constant traffic that a beauty parlor would bring. I guess it's the only reason it's spelled out there.
Mm-hmm. Well, the other thing, if you look at on the zone, right after the zoning map, you have a list of the zones and what can happen in each of the zones. I believe RA2 has dentists and doctor's offices also in your own home. So it's not consistent. So that's something, though, you're right. We do have a separate effort that actually Craig brought it up to look at the uses in the zones. So we'll look, he looked at there.
You brought it up.
I'm sorry.
Okay.
All right. So 35 is a red. We're not changing anything there now. We'll do that under the other task. We're getting there, folks. We're getting there. All right. The next yellow one. Item 1536-160. And this has to do with the Technical Review Committee. The TRC. Does everybody here know what that is? Because you're on it. Because the PZC is the TRC.
Well, hang on just a minute. I'm familiar with TRCs, and usually I'm familiar with them looking at subdivision plats before it gets to the planning board. We've had a couple of subdivisions in the past. Since 2014, do we have a TRC that functions like that?
That's it right there, as defined by those ordinance.
It says it right here, Jim. The TRC shall be the planning and zoning.
I'm wondering, I can't remember if the subdivisions that happened in the last couple of years had a TRC, because I don't know if it's a TRC.
457.
Well, okay, so a TRC is usually
1536-160.
Getting tied up. Well, no, we don't actually have a meeting. We just basically have an email chain on any issues that we have with it.
See, what I'm wondering is HPC is PVC, but it's two separate bodies. I would think a TRC and PVC are two separate bodies. I'm just not, I can't recall how TRC is
established. Is this the latest one? You don't have the latest code.
So this TRC was established just for height conception, height limit acceptance.
That could be a problem.
Yeah.
Oh, that's interesting.
Okay, so. I'll talk to the state.
Joe, you said somewhere there it says TRC is HPC.
Yes, the TRC shall be the Planning and Zoning Committee. Yeah.
Go ahead.
So,
we get another T-shirt.
We touched on some of the height, where you measure the height. Yes.
Well, we also took out one word that was too broad for exemptions to the height requirement.
Yeah,
you should say that I could
approve anything over the height. So, does it matter? So, is it the intent that the TRC is some special function of PCC? And it needs to be segregated?
That's a question for him, but yes, it was the intent to just have a separate function only for height limit exceptions.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Joe, it doesn't sound like it's...
It doesn't matter. We keep a TRC with the definition here stating that the TRC is the PCC. So, for this case, it's the same thing. But
before we leave this, I haven't read this. Who approves exceptions to the height limitation? Council? Or I would think it must be council. Do you recall?
Came into play after it became state law. It was 35 feet with the exception of a couple of things that usually accommodated commercial buildings, and so that's why we put this.
All plans must be approved by the building code enforcement officer prior to issuing it. Looks like the application comes to your department.
It does. So the TRC does make the final decision, but an appeal can be made to town council as well.
Can you point to where that is?
Applicant information. Right before the application starts.
Final decisions.
Could it be that the law required us to have a TRC and council said that the TRC should be PVC?
No, the law didn't know anything about that. And, this was just established after the fact.
So the way this... We need to take a look at this because part of it reads is if TRC makes that decision, but I'm not sure or I'm comfortable with that. Particularly when we don't really know if we have a separate TRC or PCC is the TRC, but either way, PCC is an advisory body and there's nothing else anywhere in Chapter 15 or Chapter 12 that author or statute that authorizes PVC, much less a committee, which TRC would be, to make a decision on an applied for exemption to the height requirement. So can we put this one on for another day and John can look at it and I can look at it?
Yeah, got a bunch of them.
That's fine. All right, then with that said, item 39 we'll also put off. It talks about the schedule of the TRC. I was just suggesting we change that to the TZC schedule, but we'll put off 39 also. You see, whatever comes with 37 will affect 39. All right. Item 43. It's green and red. 1540-020, talking about freestanding signs. And we had some discussion with this, and basically we want to define what a ground sign is the way we left our discussion. So I looked that up for ground sign. A ground sign shall be, or is a freestanding, self-supported structure erected or supported from the ground containing one or more faces for signs or display purposes. So if we want to define ground sign, which we don't in this document, that would be a definition.
Can you read that one more time?
Okay.
So that would mean that the main sign at Jack Mackle's was a ground sign?
Does that mean political signs or ground signs?
Which signs? I'm sorry, Dan.
Political?
No. Well, maybe. So right now the definition of freestanding sign says, this is, I'll read the whole thing through. Freestanding sign shall mean an outdoor sign when such sign is supported by uprights or braces in or upon the ground. Ground sign does not mean billboard. Okay, so it's defining freestanding sign, and then the last sentence says ground sign does not mean billboard. So it.
Do we need ground sign definition? I mean, can't you just take that off? Freestanding definition?
Is there a definition of billboard?
Well, you can put it in the freestanding, provided however that yada, 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 or not considered freestanding sign. There's a way you can go about it.
There is a definition.
My original read of this was that ground sign was just thrown in there as wrong terminology, and it should have said freestanding sign does not mean billboard. Because it's in the definition of freestanding signs, and it throws this ground sign out there.
So let's get rid of ground sign.
Just change it to freestanding.
Are you all right with that, John?
So am I going to blue?
All right. And just for everybody's info, item 45, I even had a typo in the number. It's 030.C, not 020. So if you're looking for that item. Item 47, 1540060U. 1540060U. Can you pull this up, Mandy? Because this one is really bad. I can't, it's too long to read.
For number 47?
Yes. All right, I could read it, but it'd be better if everybody was following along with the words.
You're not going to be able to see it when I share it. It shares too small.
All right. Well, let me try. So it's a long paragraph, and in the middle of it, there are two phrases that are not sentences, and they don't even make sense, almost like if they were cut and pasted from somewhere else. But this is in the section for prohibited signs. Except in a state of emergency, any permitted or non-conforming sign or sign structure which has been damaged may be repaired and used as before, provided all repairs are initiated within 30 days and completed within 90 days of such damage. That's all good. Then it says, internally illuminated can signs with translucent copy and field, period. That's the sentence. Then it says, low luminance internally illuminated channel letter and halo signs, reverse channel letter signs are permitted, period. And then the rest of the paragraph is okay. I have no clue what it's trying to say with those two middle sentences or phrases. Okay, then there's a lot of deleted stuff. All of my comments on Appendix A and Appendix B, we deleted in our discussion. Appendix A and Appendix B in the back, and John, what is it that you use? You use the standard industrial code. You bounce these off of them whenever you reference them. So if there's any miswording, basically one appendix is a list, the other appendix gives a definition of everything in the list. And in one appendix it may say hotel management, and in the other one it'll say is the title management of hotel. It's the same thing, it's just worded a little differently, so we're not going to touch all that stuff. We're going to leave it the way it is. And then the last item is back in the original definitions, 1502.010, in the definition of Collector Street, it mentions that we have a thoroughfare plan. Where is it?
K in Fort Fisher.
Must be the zoning map, that's all I can say.
Right, the zoning map, right. I mean, I don't think we should say we have a thoroughfare plan unless we have something called a thoroughfare plan.
So, John, that's just a you look into
kind of thing. Sure, I think it would.
Now, maybe we have one of the maps in our town plan. What's it called? The big plan.
Land use plan.
Maybe there's a map in there that we could reference rather than saying thoroughfare plan. Because, I mean, if I don't see something with a title on it that says thoroughfare plan, then I don't see a thoroughfare plan. Just a... And like I discussed with John, a lot of these comments are petty, and you may want to say, well, who really cares? But if somebody looks at this document and starts finding omissions, errors, little things that are wrong, and they say, for instance, with this, you call it a thoroughfare plan, you don't even have one. What else in that document is wrong? Do you want me to follow that?
And they happen to be an attorney.
And they happen to be a wonderful attorney. But so that's why I bring these items up. And I mean, they're not the biggest deal we have right now, but I think they need to be fixed.
Well, to me, it looks like since we've got changes in various stages, unless there's an objection, you two keep at it until you've got at least as close as you can get to a consensus, and then bring it back, because for us to go through all of this and vote on it make it...
No, I don't think it's in shape to vote on yet.
Yeah.
It's too many open items.
Yeah, so unless there's an objection, the two of you, or the three of you, just keep at it.
That's fine.
Because he's going to see things, but you see things that he's been looking at for years and never saw the forest for the trees.
Agreed.
So it's good luck.
Yeah. But Joe, thank you for doing this. I mean, it's painstaking work.
And there's nothing wrong with just putting English language in it.
No, but the location of the comma can make a big difference.
That's right.
All right, so this is going to be tabled pending further review by the building inspector. Is a continued discussion of town ordinance regarding private beach accesses, and this is one that Chairman Galbraith was responsible for. So unless there's an objection, hold it off for next month.
Agree.
Well, I just want to ask though, John, did you have a chance to look at it?
And 5.4 is the green sustainability plan, and that was one that was almost totally his.
Which I think we had expected that was going to be tabled anyhow until future.
And we've already done 6.1, the oath of office. And another one by Chairman Galbraith, discussion of home occupations.
Right. And is where we're going to put the beauty parlor item.
That's, well, I've been involved in council discussion of occupations. That's going to be a long one.
Yeah. Especially the last couple of years has brought a whole different light to that as well, you know, with everyone working from home.
And having put those off.
Tabled. Having tabled, we're going to table them.
What was that?
We tabled them. We didn't put them off. We tabled them.
Well, of course we did. I knew that. Then there's no more items on the agenda. So I'll.
Motion we adjourn.
Second.
All opposed? That's it.